Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are excited to be in His presence this morning? If you are excited, rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you are welcome to your Father's house. Or say it like you mean it. Say you are welcome to your Father's house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. God has sent for us today because He wants to bless us. But we are going to pray. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, you shall condemn it. Because this is your heritage. You shall condemn, not God. Not God. And that's why He said also in Matthew chapter 18 verse 18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So what you don't bind, God will leave it loose. And what you are not committed to address, God will not address. Amen. We are going to just pray one or two prayers. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come, that you may have life and to have it more abundantly. And you see, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Amalekites came and invaded the family of Samuel. And God said to him when he went to meet with God in verse 8, God said to him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake and without fail recover all. God opened my eyes to see in the place of prayers that so many has lost a lot of things to the enemy. And he said, it is not in my position to give it back to them. They need to pursue, overtake, and then recover. But I'll make available myself to work with them. So we are going to pray this prayer. I don't know what you may have lost during this season. But God is saying, somebody has lost something. But it is a season of recovery for you. If only you will open your mouth wide and pray with me right now, there shall be recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going to say with me, my Father, whatsoever the enemy has stolen from me, in the moment while I was asleep, I arise today. I pursue by fire. I overtake by the blood. And I recover all in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I recover. Let there be total recovery in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatsoever the enemy has stolen from any one of us here, no matter how long it may be, no matter how long they have been in possession of it, we arise this morning to pursue by the blood. We pursue by the fire of the Holy Ghost, and we recover all. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Therefore, I decree over somebody's life tonight, this morning, this hour, that job you have lost, you are recovering it. That your finances you have lost, you are recovering it. Your faith that you have lost, you are recovering it now. Whatsoever it is the enemy stole from you, your health, the health of that your family member that the enemy carted away, today there is recovery. Amen. There is restoration. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, my Father, in Jesus' name. Second prayer, Lord, build an edge of fire round about me and my family. The enemy can no more steal what belongs to me. Open your mouth, pray. An edge of fire. An edge of fire. Round about me and my household. The enemy can no more steal what belongs to me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, build an edge of fire. Round about the bread of life. And every one of us that are here. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Father, we thank you because we know that you speak and reveal to redeem. As we have declared this hour, everything the enemy stole from anyone here, we demand total recovery as we pursue by the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, the evidence shall be tangible on our hands of our total recovery. In the name of Jesus Christ, henceforth we build an edge of fire round about us. The enemy can no more tamper with what belongs to us. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Put those blessings together for Jesus. And please, let's be seated. Hallelujah. Our God is so good. I remember when I was asking God of what to share, because I have the word. Every time I am studying, sometimes God will say, pick your pen and write this word, make it plain. So as I'm studying the word, I will write. I will just be writing the messages. How many of you have listened to Monday morning showers? I have hundreds of messages I've written that I have not shared. And so as I was looking, I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And God, I was tilting towards one particular word I wanted to share, and that is operating in the supernatural. And while I was praying, God said, no, no, no. For you to operate in the supernatural, there are requirements that need to be fulfilled in order for the people to be equipped to walk in the supernatural. So leave that aside, and I will give you the word. And I started praying and seeking his face. And then he gave me the word finally. And coincidentally, as the choir was singing this morning, this afternoon, they mentioned something about that same word. May the Lord bless you, choir, in the mighty name of Jesus. The refiner's fire is here today, and it will do wonders in our midst. In the name of Jesus. Please share the slide. Today, by the grace of God, I shall be sharing on unveiling the mystery of sanctification and holiness. Unveiling the mystery of sanctification and holiness. He said to me, this is the access, primary access to walking in the supernatural. He said, therefore, let them know what it means to walk in sanctification, purity, and holiness. And then, when next I give you the permission, you can tell them about what it means to operate in the supernatural. So therefore, today, God shall be unveiling to us the mystery behind sanctification and holiness. Our scriptural reference is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 to 8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore. Sanctify yourself, therefore. And be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord that sanctifies thee. Second scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Speak unto the congregation of the bread of life, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, I am holy. Thank you, Father, for your word. You gave this word. Publish it by yourself. And as we hear the word today, sanctify us by your word and get us ready for your second coming. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Now, we'll just look at the terms that we have in our topic today. I have always talked about mysteries. Mysteries. The Word of God is full of mysteries. And as much as we have mysteries in the world, we also have capacity to unveil these mysteries by the power of the Holy Ghost.
The Spirit of God is the custodian of mysteries. And is with us. The essence of his presence with us is to unveil the various mysteries. So what are mysteries? A mystery is nothing but scriptural truths that are kept secret by God to be unveiled on a later stage or at a particular time by his Spirit. They are simply scriptural truths that can only be unveiled by the Spirit. It will also amaze you to know that the powers of darkness also operate in mysteries. They have mystics that they operate by. I have been privileged to walk in the midst of these people, and I know that the powers of darkness primarily operate by mysteries. My parents were there. I was there watching and seeing. In the midst of that, God brought me out. And I was also privileged to walk in the midst of secret service in those days while I was in college. And I was privileged to walk in the midst of secret courts. And I saw that these people that are in the darkness, primarily they operate by mysteries. Mysteries are what defines them. And I want to tell you that all these people, they operate by mysteries of the dark world, but we have a greater mystery. We have a greater mystery. Now, there are two mysteries in scriptures, as we have said. There are two mysteries in scripture. The first one is the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. The mysteries of iniquity. And the second one is the mystery of godliness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only who now letteth we let, until he be taken out of the way." So there is a mystery in scriptures known as the mystery of iniquity. That is the mystery that holds men bound in sin, that holds men bound in evil. It is also the mystery that denies and deprives men of what God has ordained for us in scripture. You are seeing the promise in the word, but you are not able to take hold of it. There is a mystery. It is called the mystery of iniquity. And there is another mystery. The Bible says it's a great mystery. And that is evident in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And that is the mystery of godliness. The Bible said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Great is the mystery of godliness. Say to yourself, "I have a greater mystery." Say it like you mean, say, "I have a greater mystery." It doesn't matter how much terrible, how much the mystery of darkness may be operating in the world today, we have a greater mystery in the Word of God. But until it is unveiled, until it is revealed, you may not be able to access it. You may not be able to take hold of it. So many are in the church, but they are operating like we don't have power. Because why? They don't understand how to access these mysteries. And that's the mystery of godliness. It is a greater mystery. Sanctification is an ongoing process that God continues to perform in the lives of his people. It's a process by which God makes believers to be like Christ, more and more and more like Jesus Christ, by the help of the Holy Ghost. So the essence of the Holy Ghost, the primary essence of the Holy Ghost, is to make you to be like Christ. Because Christ is the head of all principalities and power. In other words, he is the head of all the mysteries that have ever been. And so when you become more like Christ, you take hold of these mysteries and you manifest them. So sanctification is God's agenda to make you like Christ on a daily basis so that you can operate the mystery of godliness at will. The mystery of sanctification is actually meant to move us into the realm of holiness. As you continue to sanctify yourself, because it's a continuous process, by virtue of what we shall be looking at today, you will become holy before God. You become pure. And let me quickly say here that when you are holy, God knows. When you are holy, the powers of darkness, they know. When you are living holy, you yourself, you know. And I want to say to us that purity and holiness, purity, sanctification and holiness is our primary weapon of victory. It doesn't matter how much of a prayer warrior that you are. It doesn't matter how much of the word you study. It doesn't matter how much you appear in church. It doesn't matter how much you call upon the name of Jesus. But I tell you the truth, without purity, without holiness and sanctification, it doesn't hold ground. You remember the sons of Sceva? They were saying, in the name of Jesus that Paul preached, I command you, come out of him. The devils grabbed them and said, look, my friend, Paul, I know. This Jesus you are talking about, I know. But who are you? Who are you? Tell me, introduce yourself to me. Because as I am looking at you now, I am seeing defilement. I am seeing impurity. I am seeing a vessel that is not sanctified. And so you don't qualify to tell me what to do. You don't have the capability. Because why? You lack the required purity to give me such command. What gives you that audacity? The Bible said they pounced on the sons of Sceva. So purity, sanctification, holiness in righteousness is our primary weapon of victory. It's our primary weapons. Weapon of victory. God in Leviticus chapter 19 verse 2 said clearly, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, I am holy. From that word, you will see that holiness, purity, and sanctification is a direct commandment. It doesn't matter how you twist it. Holiness is holiness. Purity is purity. No matter how you try to covet, God is saying, be holy. For I, the Lord, whom you have come to seek, I am holy. God will not compromise his holiness for any man's sake. It's not about the title that I carry, the pastor. It's not about the unit you are serving. It's about purity. The devil has no respect for titles. He has no respect for our service in the house of God. What scares the enemy? What deters them? It's holiness. Purity in the sight of God. And so, we must, as a matter of must, pursue holiness in every areas of our lives. Through sanctification, setting ourselves aside for God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, Bible says, follow peace with all men and with holiness, without which no man can see God. It doesn't matter how much you seek him. It doesn't matter how much you spend time on your knees. It doesn't matter how much you cry. You can't see God in your affairs. You can't see God on the day when he shall come. You can't see him move in your direction if you are not walking in holiness. The Bible said, pursue peace with all men, which is good. And what? With holiness. Without this, you can't see God. Make no mistake about it. God is a royalty, and he has his criteria for appearing. He does not appear anyhow. God will not compromise his purity and his holiness because of you. He is holy, and he said it, be holy, for I am holy. Prayers does not take the place of holiness. Crying, calling for intercession does not take the place of holiness, because it is the same devil that is everywhere. It's the same devil that may be behind what you are praying for, and he knows when you are walking holy. You cannot lie to God. You cannot lie to the devil. You may lie to yourself, but this You cannot lie before them. Now we look at the mandate of sanctification and holiness. The mandate of sanctification and holiness. A mandate is an official order. It's an instruction, a clear authorization, direct instruction. That's a mandate. And so God is saying, I am mandating you, my children, to be holy. The mandate is given. It is yours to accept it by saying, Lord, you are God. I separate myself unto you. Or you leave it, because it is either it is God completely or it's no God at all. He is God completely over your life. Is God completely over your affairs, or is no God at all? Like I said before, our God will never compromise his standard. He will not, because of us, because we want to twist our walk with him, then bring himself down. What he does, if you are not committed to walking holy, he separates himself from you. But that will not be your portion in that mighty name of Jesus. So, God has ordained for us to live sanctified and holy, but he has made provisions for us to achieve it. God did not just tell us, be holy. He has made provisions for us to be holy. He has made provisions for us to be holy. And they are all available in scriptures. How do I know this? Number one, God will not tell us to do what he has not engraced us to do, because his commandments are not grievous. If God is saying, be holy, for I am holy, which is attainable by sanctification, it means he has made available what you need to live a holy life for him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment are not grievous. His commandment are not grievous. God is commanding us to be holy. And it is not a grievous thing. If it was grievous, God would not say, be holy. It is his nature as God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God has made available the grace for every one of us to live holy for him. And that grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter what weakness you may think you have, if you can only rely on his grace, God, even our God that sanctifies us, will sanctify you. You remember where we read in our opening scripture, Leviticus chapter 20, sanctify yourselves, therefore. And then the last part, he said, I am the Lord that sanctify you. So first of all, you must sanctify yourself, and then God steps in by his grace to empower you to live a sanctified life. So, God is not telling us what is outside the cloud. God has given us power to live holy for him. But you need to be determined to walk holy by separating yourself unto him, and then he will give you supernatural enablement. There is no need to pretend in church. There is no need to waste all our years in church, coming to church, partaking in various ministries, and at the end, when Jesus will show up, he will say, oh, ye of wickedness, depart from me, I know you not. That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no need to waste our years coming to church and still be walking in sin, still be walking in unrighteousness. Let us make up our mind and take hold of what God has made available for us to walk in holiness. Number two, God will not tell us to be what he has not empowered us to be. He's not a wicked God. He's not a wicked God, especially to the church of this generation. If the men of old could run with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, just six books, and we have the complete gospel. We owe them an explanation if we miss heaven. If they could run and live in obedience without the Holy Spirit coming upon them the way he is with us now. If we miss heaven, then we have ourselves to blame. None of us here will miss heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. God has given us supernatural empowerment to live holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Upon the mandate of that word, be ye holy. That was the same be that God spoke when he was creating the earth, the heavens and the earth. Let there be, let there be, let there be. And it was. That same power is behind that word. Be ye holy. And so if you can only submit yourself to him, God is committed to making us holy. But we need to submit. He also said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." God does not just expect us to be holy and be sanctified. He wants us to be perfect. To be perfect means to be blameless. To be blameless in all of our works. God is calling us unto a life of holiness, of blamelessness. God is calling us to depart from every form of appearance of evil. The days are evil. We are encompassed about with a cloud of darkness of evil. But God, in the midst of it, is saying, "I have given you what you need to live pure for him." And God bear me witness that God has given men power to live holy. God is still giving us today grace to live holy. It doesn't matter what the situation is around us. It doesn't matter what is the general happening around us. God has given you what it takes to live holy. He said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over every powers of the enemies. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you." I said to us, the power to live righteous is available to you. Make the most of it. Because at the end of the day, the thing that will count before God is your holiness. It will be so bare before God. It will be so bare before him. How you lived a sanctified life. It doesn't matter how much we have served. It doesn't matter how much time we have spent in the church. It doesn't matter how many ministries we are serving in. On that day, what we primarily count before God is how pure you have lived for him. How pure you have lived before him. How pure you have lived before him. And make no mistake about it, God will not compromise himself, not because of us. He is holy, and he is truly holy. As a matter of fact, those that are walking in impurity, you may not even find yourself in his presence. Right at the gate, the angels will say, you don't have any place here. You don't have any place here. As a matter of fact, you yourself, you will know that I am not fit to be in this place because of the kind of glory that will be there. That will not be you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The grace to live holy, because we are entering the times that the Bible called perilous times. The time where men will become lovers of themselves, boasters. Men will become adulterers, liars, people that don't give any, they don't care about the things of God anymore. They will appear to have a form of godliness, but go to their secret places, they are denying the power thereof. Men that will appear in church, lift up their hands and serve in various units. But if you check them, if God opened their mirror, open the television so you see them, you see that too much cockroaches in their cupboard. Days of pretense in the church. But God is calling us today to return unto him. Because God is not sending this kind of message except he has a purpose for it. He's not saying it to say that we all here are living impure. It can be just one person. This may be the last time you may hear this kind of word. I have prepared. I said, "Lord, I want to speak to your church about operating in the supernatural. Because that is what we need. We need to walk in the supernatural in order for us to operate above the happenings of the times." And God said to me, "No, tell them they need to be set aside for me." Are you ready
to be set aside for God. God that we serve will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Number three, as tough as the instruction might look like, it is paramount to highlight that sanctification, holiness, is a choice. It is not a gift. It's a choice that is accompanied with responsibility. It's a choice. It's a choice that you must make. You either decide to be a bench warmer. You just come to church and sit down and go. You come to mark register. But it is not like that with God. You can decide to continue in your sin. It's a choice. It's a choice that everybody has to make. And that, very quickly. God will not force any man. God will not compel us. It's a choice that we have to make. You have to decide it. You have to decide it. And I want us to know that God has given us the supernatural enablement to make the right choice in the name of Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Bible said, God speaking, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I admonish you to choose life that you might live. And as I began to study and meditate on this word, I discovered that the matter of holiness and sanctification is a matter of life and death, sir. It is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. God is saying here, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and every other thing that follows. But I'm advising, choose life. You have the right to choose. God will never choose for any man. You have the right to decide whether to live holy for him or to continue to play the games with God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow in your body, you will reap it. It doesn't matter. You will reap it. You will reap it. But my prayer is that God will help us to reap right, the blessing of righteousness, in the mighty name of Jesus. So please, let us pay attention to what God is saying today. It's a call unto righteousness. It's a call unto holiness. It's a call unto walking with God in truth and in sincerity. I'm not talking about call to service. I'm not talking about call to come to church. I'm not talking about call to any ministry. I'm not talking about call to anything else. But the call to holiness, call to purity, call to righteousness, call to the fear of God. God is calling us today to surrender our life in totality to him. We cannot deceive ourselves because we cannot deceive God. Let us make our mind up to live a life of purity, a life of holiness, a life of purity. He said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you ready to make the choice today? It is between you and God. But make no mistake about it. This day is in the record of God. I know what I went through when I was preparing for the word. And God said, no, not that. It took me a few times for him to put these things on the ground for me. Because I was already preparing the other way. I said, no, the supernatural is not available except they had sanctified themselves. As you sanctify yourself today, God will launch you into the supernatural. In the mighty name of Jesus. Number four, why God never holds our past against us, he will only write them off when we truly repent and live a sanctified life. When we truly repent, God writes our past off as though they never happened.
Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So without confessing and forsaking, there is no mercy. And we must also bear in mind that sanctification is a lifelong journey. If you are walking in purity today, and suddenly tomorrow you decided, I am tired of this God, all this sanctified life I've been living, what has he brought to my life? And you change, God will hold you by that if he comes and meets you in that particular state. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 to 24 states it clearly. I will read it. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Every man on his own. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. 21. But if the wicked return from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. 22. All his transgression that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him anymore. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? And not that he should return from his ways and live, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. Whether he stood upon the altar to preach, he shall not be mentioned. Whether he ministered in the choir, shall not be mentioned. You may have taught in the Friday school, it shall not be mentioned. You may have spent days fasting and prayers, in fasting and prayer, it shall not be mentioned. It is where God meets you. That's what he's saying here. That's where he's going to judge you. All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in it shall he die. That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So sanctification is a continuous process. You don't live sanctified today and tomorrow you are gone back to your vomit and then you make it through to heaven. We must be consistent in our walk with God. So we must make everything possible to walk in purity. One thing we must note is the mandate of faith in our place for sanctification. The mandate of faith. To live a sanctified life is impossible without faith. You see, I will ask us a question here. We believed in Christ the day we received Jesus Christ. And we got saved, right? Where was the devil when you gave your life to Christ? The devil was on holidays. The devil was there. But you decided to give your life. And he could not stop you. And of course, when you got up this morning, took your shower, picked your Bible or your tablet, and came to church this morning, where was the devil? Why did he not stop you? Because you made up your mind and you surrendered unto Christ and you are here today. So we must know all these things I just talked about, you did them through faith. You believed God and you took steps of faith. That is what is expected of us in this journey of sanctification. So without faith, it is impossible for us to live a sanctified life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We must also believe that sanctification, purity, and holiness is a reality and not just a possibility. and you'll be empowered to walk in it, and believing God for your sanctification will drive you to prayers. We must know that holiness is a reality. Holiness is real. It's possible. It's possible. And when you believe God for it, you'll be driven to pray and say, Lord, there is still something in my life. Remove it for me. Help me with this particular thing. You begin to identify them and present them to God. And God steps in to help you. But first, we must take that step and come to Him for Him to help us. Bible records concerning Enoch that by faith he was translated. The Bible recorded that he did not see death. Why? He had faith. That is why when you believe God for your sanctification, God translates you in your inner man. And as you are walking with God daily, He sanctifies you. The Bible said we should present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our heart. So when you surrender yourself to God, God transforms you by the power of His word. Sometimes we wonder, this sanctification, this holiness, is it really possible? We begin to wonder, is it really possible to live holy? Yes, it is possible to live holy. If it weren't so, Jesus will not be preparing the mansion He's preparing in heaven. And heaven is made for sanctified people. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. After preparing that place, I will come and take you unto myself. So sanctification is real. Otherwise, Jesus will not be preparing a place for people that are not sanctified. He knows that He is coming back for a pure church, a church that is holy. And so He is preparing that place. If it were not possible, He would not be wasting His resources preparing all that He is preparing for us. So, let us not think that everybody is struggling to live holy. There are people that are still sold out, even amongst us. Yeah. Sold out to God. Sold out to God. Pursuing after righteousness. There are people that are still living pure, sanctified. This is to challenge us to know that it is a possibility for us to live holy for God. You know Elijah? Elijah was in conversation with God. He was speaking with the people of Israel. And he said in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22, there said Elijah to the people, I am the only one that remains the prophet of God. God heard him. God said to him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, he said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. People of God, I want us to know that there are still people, even in our midst here, that are living sanctified lives. And so, this should spur us up to know that it is a possibility. God called Elijah to order. Don't think that because you were almost fainting, that there are no people that have not bowed to Baal. Say, I have 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed. 7,000 in Israel. If you are still walking, not worthy of God, you may just be the only one remaining. I will repeat it again. If you are still having tit for tat with God, you are still touching things He's saying you should not touch, you may just be the only one remaining. So therefore, let us arise and walk in purity and in holiness. For our God is a God of purity, is a God of holiness. He will never compromise sin. So, what are the pathways and benefits to living a sanctified life. What are the pathways? What are the pathways? And the benefits. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So there is gain in godliness. There is gain. There is gain in holiness. What are the pathways? What are the pathways? Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominion, all powers and positions. Your name stand above them all. All creations cry, oh, holy, holy. Oh, holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing. Hey, oh. The King of Kings. Oh, holy, you will always be. Oh, holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stand above them all thrones and dominion, all power and position. Your name stand above them all creations cry, holy to the King of God. Oh, holy, you will always lift it high. Oh, holy, holy forever. We serve a holy God. He's so holy. He's so righteous. Let us make every effort to please him in holiness, so that we can join the host that we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. God is not accusing us. God is admonishing us because he wants to do something new in our lives. So, the pathways. We must propose to live a sanctified life. You must determine. Instead of saying, why is Pastor Dennis accusing us? Is he saying that he is holy and sanctified? Rather, I would want you to say, Lord, I make up my mind to live a life that will give you praise. Because our choice is stronger than the strongest devil. In the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible said, Daniel proposed in his heart not to defile himself. And he never did. The immediate response to Daniel's decision was favor. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, then said this man, these were the people that were planning against Daniel. I mean, Daniel chapter 6, 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus and Persian. The Persian. Why? He presented himself to God as pure and holy. And favor was strategically positioning him. Number two, we must wash and pray to stay sanctified. We must wash and pray. It is difficult to pray real prayer in the spirit and continue in sin. Whatsoever is pushing you from prayers is nothing far from iniquity. Anything that is separating you from prayers will soon guide your footsteps into sin. Because prayer is interaction and communication with God. As you are interacting with Him, He pours out His refiner's fire into you and purges you. In Matthew 26:41, wash and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because the spirit is willing, the body is weak. Number three, we must continue to engage the cleansing power of the word. The word of God is ordained to cleanse us. And so we must study the word daily. We must pay attention to the word. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In Psalms 119:9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? He said, by taking heed thereto to thy word. In verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So every scripture we read is a cleansing agent. It is made to sanctify us. How many of us read our Bibles this morning before we came? How many of you make sure that day and night you are studying the word? I'm not talking about studying the word because you want to preach. I'm talking about sitting with the word because you want the word to minister to you. It is the cleansing power of God, the word. Or because you want to lead prayers in intercession. Because you want to do one thing with the word, you go for the word. No. The Bible said this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. You will have to meditate on it day and night so that you will be able to observe to do all that is written therein. And then you make your way prosperous. We must crave for the endowment of the spirit of holiness for us to live holy. Romans 1:4, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It is the spirit of holiness that establishes our sonship in God. We must crave to walk with the spirit of holiness. Number five, we must engage the power of the blood of Jesus for our rescue daily. Daily, to live holy. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There is power in the blood to cleanse us. So you rise up every morning, plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, over your life, so that you can live a pure life for him daily. In Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is power in the blood. As we round up, there is huge cost for ungodliness. If you choose to live holy, there is benefit. But if you choose to remain ungodly, there is huge cost. In Job 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. That will not be you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What are the cost of ungodliness? Quickly, it blocks access to help in times of trouble. It blocks access to help. In Isaiah 38, 1 to 5, you see Hezekiah. He was supposed to die. But he cried unto God and said, Lord, you know how I have served you holily, with purity of heart. Lord, you cannot take me now. God added 15 more years to him. Proverbs 33, verse 18. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Ungodliness destroys destiny. Number two. You know Samson? He died with his enemy on account of ungodliness. Judges 16, verse 30. He said, let me die with my enemies. They were making mockery of him because of ungodliness. The Bible said in that last part, so he died with his enemies. Remember Gehazi in 2 Kings 5, 20 to 27. The servant of Elisha, he took hold of leprosy on account of greed. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They died before the Lord. Number three, ungodliness blocks access to divine secrets. Psalms 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, you see how Daniel proposed to live holy before God. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. You lack secret, the secret of God, if you do not live holy. Number three, it opens doors. Number four, to sickness and diseases. Don't get me wrong. All sicknesses are not as a result of sin and impurities. But living holy keeps us healthy. Finally, it blocks access to divine wisdom. When you are not living godly for God, you lose wisdom. You begin to behave like them. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So where do we stand? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will always judge sin. Are you ready to make reconciliation with God? Let us rise up on our feet. We just need to surrender to God and say, Lord, grace to live holy for you. I receive it. Let us rededicate our lives to God and commit to a lifestyle of purity. Even this moment. Father, we thank you. Thank you, my Father.
Continue to talk to God.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the responsibility? Unveiling the mystery of sanctification and holiness comes with responsibility. Are you ready to be set apart? Ask God, Lord, I want to be set apart. Are you ready for that responsibility? Are you ready to make all effort to live that holy life? If you are ready, you must be ready to continue to pray. You must be ready to continue to wash and pray so as to remain sanctified in his presence. Just as the psalmist have said, as we have heard from the message, Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. Talk to God. I want to remain holy. Reveal to me the mystery that surrounds it. I am ready to take up the responsibility. I am ready to be set apart. I'm ready to make all effort to remain holy, to live an holy life. Talk to God. Amos 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servant, the prophet. We are all servants of God. Are you ready to live that holy life? Because God dwells in the high and holy place. So shall it be, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we want to bless your holy name and thank you, Lord, for your message that we have heard this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your mystery to us, for unveiling it, for us to remain sanctified and live a holy life before you. Father, the grace to continuously live a holy life, Father, you will grant us in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything in our life that will make us to look like a filter garment before you, Lord. Father, we pray, God Almighty, by your mercy, you will remove them in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to thank you for your servant that you have used for us this day. More anointing in Jesus' name. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless his ministry and his secular job in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless his children. Bless sister. Bless the family as a whole. And bless the church of God as well in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you all praises and adoration for what you are doing in our church. Thank you, everlasting Father. Right from the beginning of this year up to this time, we glorify your holy name. Lord, we thank you for all our programs that we have had this year. And as we prepare for NG4C Victory Night, Father, we pray that victory shall surround us in the mighty name of Jesus. And as our youth will be ministering to us on that very night, Father, the Spirit to live and holy life, Father, grant us in Jesus' name. And as we look forward for the 40 years anniversary of this church, Father, we pray, God Almighty, everyone that will be coming from far and near, continue to shield them and protect them in the mighty name of Jesus. And for us, they are coming to meet here. We pray also that you will shield us and protect us in Jesus' name. On that very day, your name shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. And we use this period to pray for those that are sick, wherever they may be, that the presence of God, the hand of God will be upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for peace in this region, that peace shall continue to reign in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. As people will be preparing for holiday in coming month, Father, we pray, God Almighty, you continue to protect each and every one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. As we depart, let your presence go ahead of us in Jesus' name. When we return next week, let our testimony be full in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Before we share the grace, remember tomorrow, Victory Night at Bethel, it's not just for intercessory only, it's for each and every one of us. And for the NG4C Victory Night service, please invite your friends and relatives. If you can identify your enemy, bring him. You have a change of heart. And God will take over in Jesus' name. Let us joyfully share the grace together in fellowship. And may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And we shall dwell in the presence of the Lord. Amen. God bless you all.